when I first heard that song, it just hit me to know the Lord and to know him in a different way that we get to read about him or we want to experience him. And so I wanted to share that song with you this morning so that you could be exposed to some of those songs out there that talk about him and not us, that describe him and not us, that focus on him and not us. You know, some of those songs that just keep talking about him and you get captivated by who he is, and then you go on a deeper knowing of who he really is. So Father, I just thank you this morning. Lord, I ask right now in the name of Jesus that you would open our hearts, that you would open the eyes of our hearts to be able to receive this word. Father, I ask that you would impart to us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. Father, I ask for our minds to be aware and open, that the urgency of this word would come to us. Father, I'm asking that you would begin to plow hearts with fertile ground, that as these seeds get spread out this morning, Father God, that you would implant them, but also fertilize them, that they may grow accordingly to your word. Father, I thank you for your blood. I thank you for your suffering. I thank you for the cross. I thank you for giving us life, eternal life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It's a little bit different worshiping with videos, isn't it? I love it. That's how I actually learned how to worship. I would come to church and I didn't know what to do. So I would go home and see what the worship people would do, and then I would mimic. I never raised my hands. I never did anything, but I'm like, there's got to be something that they get when they do that. So I just started practicing. I started lifting my hands, and I started shouting, and I started moving, not just sitting. And I began to actually participate with the presence of the Lord. It is sometimes good to stay there and absorb, and there is sometimes even better when you actually participate in the worship and you dance with him. And you get surrounded by him. And that you get completely soaked in him. That you don't want to leave that place ever again. So I invite you to try that one of these days. I don't mind if you come up to the front and start dancing or shouting or clapping. I mean, you are free to do whatever you want to do in the presence of the Lord. So I want to bring a word to you. And it is a thought that started in me, but turned into a huge revelation, a huge discovery in my walk with Christ. And I want to walk you through what I went through to have this word implanted in my heart. And at the same time, I am praying that the Holy Spirit would take you on that same journey, and that you would experience the revelation of this word. I got to tell you that I think this word needed to come to Blue Water Christian Church today, because I was plastered and knocked wave after wave of chaos this week. It was a mental battle that I had this week of just things that would pop up and they would distract me. And to even last night and this morning, I'm like, you know what? This has to be delivered. If my mind is being filled with everything else but the delivery of the word, then that means the enemy's at work trying to stop this word from coming through. That happened to Nick, if you remember, not too long ago. And then it happened to me this week. What did we just celebrate? Thanksgiving. Do you give thanks when things are going good? I hope you do. Do you give thanks when things are going bad? It's a little harder, but you should do it too. Do you give thanks in the middle of chaos? I encourage you to. I didn't know, and I was telling my wife this morning, I was like, I don't know if this is a teaching or this is a preaching. I'm kind of confused about it. She always says I preach better than I teach. But I'm just going to let the Holy Spirit teach that to you. He is our teacher. He is the best teacher I've ever had. And so I'm going to start with the question that I asked the Lord. I said, God, how was I born? A simple question that I know from asking the same question to my mother once. How was I born, Mom? And my mom went through the whole, you know, well, I went into labor on a Friday. You weren't born until a Sunday. Yes, it took 3 days for me to come out. 3 full days. She explained to me how in that era there really wasn't like anesthesia given to you. It was pretty much a natural birth. This 15-year-old little girl was about to give birth to a kid, and she didn't know what to do. And she walked me through the whole, you know, how I was born, and it dawned on me that the Father once said that you have to be born again to know the kingdom of God. And so I said, if I know the natural realm, how I was born, I would like to know how I was born in the Spirit. And he took me, he responded with this scripture, John 19, verse 31 through 34. I'm going to read you out of the Passion Translation, and I promise you that this might seem like it's not going anywhere, but I will try to wrap it up at the end so you can understand exactly what the revelation is. I'm going to read you from the Passion Translation. It says, the Jewish leader, so this is talking about Jesus going to the cross. He's now been whipped. He's now been carrying his cross, and he's been taken to the place where he has now been crucified. He is hanging on that cross, pierced, beaten, thirsty, exposed to, for everyone to see. John gives a perspective of the cross and a version that is different from the other Gospels. In fact, the other Gospels don't talk about the side of Jesus being pierced. It talks about how the veil tore after he breathed his last. But in John 19, verse 31, it says, the Jewish leaders did not want the bodies of the victims to remain on the cross through the next day, since it was the day of preparation for a very important Sabbath. So they asked Pilate's permission to have the victims' legs broken to hasten or speed up their death, and their bodies taken down before sunset. It was illegal, but at the same time, if the bodies would have remained up there, it was unclean for what the celebration was calling for. So that's why they wanted to speed up the death. Sometimes it would take 2 or 3 days, but by breaking the legs, you would literally suffocate yourself until death. So the soldiers broke the legs of the two men who were nailed there. But when they came to Jesus, they realized that he had already died. So they decided not to break his legs. But one of the soldiers took a spear and pierced Jesus' side, and blood and water gushed out. Now I've seen this scene many, many times. I've seen the Passion of the Christ, and I've seen some drama acting, and I've seen some crosses, and I seen some pictures that people hang up on their wall of Jesus being hung and that side being open. But this was a new revelation. Why did water and blood come out of the side of Jesus? Let's go back now in the beginning. Put a something to hold that page because we're going to go back to it. But let's go to Genesis 2. We're going to go back to the beginning. Genesis chapter 2, verse 21 through 24. God is in the creation. God is creating the earth and everything in it. God is speaking things into existence. And it comes to this. Verse 21. Wait a minute. Maybe that's not the verse. Hold that thought. Oh, I was in the wrong chapter, that's why. Okay, chapter 2, verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of a man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Now, Sergio, how does this tie together? I'm going to tell you. Ephesians 5, 30 to 32 says this. "For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." What does this really mean? The blood in the water. When Jesus breathed his last, he said, "It is finished." We've heard that phrase many, many times. "It is finished." We think he is referring to or speaking to the enemy, that you are finished. But in fact, he is speaking to his church. My bride, the death that had been following you, all of this time, it is finished now. He is speaking to his beloved. "It is finished, my bride." It is spoken in the word that Jesus is the last Adam. The first Adam came, and this is what happened. His side was open to take a rib out. And out of that came a woman. Jesus' side was open. And out of that came you and I. The blood and the water is a imagery of a birth. There is blood and water and a natural birth. When Jesus' side was pierced, you and I were born. The veil was being torn from top to bottom for one reason: to represent that God was doing it. From top to bottom, the veil was torn to invite you and I because of the great death that had just happened. The highest priest, the holy one, the anointed one, just breathed his last, and at that moment the veil tore. And who was welcome? the ones being born from Christ. It is a wowing revelation. My wife was there when I received that revelation. She walked downstairs. I was sitting in my chair and I just couldn't take it, but just weep. And I said, he had me in his mind from Genesis. We were born from him. This is the spiritual birth that Jesus is talking about. That if you believe and the Son, and the name of Jesus, he is the way. You have to come through him to be born again as a spirit being. You have to die his death so that you can be raised up again through the Holy Spirit. But now you're not to live a natural life, but the spirit-filled supernatural life that he has for every one of you. First John 5, 6 through 8 says this: Jesus Christ is the one who was revealed as God's Son by his water baptism and by the blood of his cross. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And the Spirit who is truth confirms this with his testimony. So we have these three constant witnesses giving their evidence: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three are in agreement. This is good news. I'm not hearing anyone shout yet, and I hope that the Holy Spirit is going to process that to you later on. It is an explosion. I told Carrie last night, I don't think this is a one message, and I am so sorry that I'm not bringing you a Christmas theme message, but I felt the urgency of letting every single one of you the good news of this birth of you and I in the walk of Christ. It came to me that the water baptism is not just an event. The water baptism is a daily baptism of the Word of God. It's not just a one-time event. Some of you were baptized when you were little. Some of you were baptized not too long ago. Some of you are thinking about getting baptized. But can I tell you that the baptism, the water baptism, is your daily baptism of the living Word of God who washes you on a daily basis. It's not just a one-time event. We don't do communion every Sunday just so you can gather up all your things for a whole month and come that first Sunday and take the cup and say you're forgiven. It is a remembrance. It is a daily devotion. It is a minute-by-minute repetition in your mind to say, Lord, I remember what you did on that cross. And I remember also that you said it was finished. So I'm nailing this to the cross again. And I'm stepping out because there was a resurrection. See, a lot of us stay at the cross. And it's a beautiful, beautiful place to be. But keep it in your heart. Remember it on a daily basis. But remember that there is a resurrection. Remember there is a walking out. That there is a new covenant. That there is a newness in Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Don't just stay at the cross. Move where the Spirit is moving you to allow you to know the riches and the glory of the kingdom of God. Have I lost anybody yet? Okay. We're going to read John chapter 3. John chapter 3 talks about a very, very famous a verse that we have a intelligent Pharisee named Nicodemus. This Pharisee comes at night trying to hide that he's doing this. And he comes to ask Jesus a question. He comes to want to receive knowledge from Jesus. And this Pharisee acknowledges that Jesus does indeed have power. That he indeed is sent from God because of the things that he is doing. And this is how it starts. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." I need to let you know that what Jesus is saying here, let me actually read you another translation. It says, "Listen to this eternal truth. Before a person can even perceive God's kingdom, they must first experience a rebirth." This is a fundamental piece in the church today that we are losing a lot of our brothers and sisters because they've forgotten this piece of the puzzle. They have decided to walk out their Christian life with their own abilities and strength. They have decided to walk out this word of God with their own intellect, with their own self-teachings, with their own pastoral counsel, themselves giving it to themselves. Not being taught by the Holy Spirit, but listening to everything they can think of that will help them be taught, but refusing to hear from the Holy Spirit. Now, Sergio, why is that wrong? Why can't I just read my word and teach my own self? I'll tell you why. Because when Jesus was being crucified, and Pilate brings out Jesus and says, "I find no fault in this man," the Pharisees said, "We have the law. We know the word of God, and it says to kill him." These Pharisees knew the law, knew the word of God. These Pharisees were not just trained like you and I. If you said mountains, they knew every single verse that was tied to a mountain. If you said water, they knew every single passage, every single scripture that was tied to a water. They weren't just reading this word as you and I once in a while. They were eating this word like nobody's business. They knew the word, the law. They knew it so well, but they forgot about the one who is the word. They forgot about the one who is greater than the law. They forgot about the one who was in their midst, and that is religion. You take the Holy Spirit out of the Word of God and you're living in religion. You take the Holy Spirit out of the church and you're having a just social gathering. You take the Holy Spirit out of your daily life and you're doing everything with a little bit more of self-ambition. We confuse the favor of God with the human hunger of wanting to succeed. We begin to confuse the scriptures and we begin to be the Holy Spirit dictating other people what to do and what not to do and forgetting about the grace that once saved us. This Pharisee came and Jesus says, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born? He is old. How can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of Spirit is Spirit. Do not marvel that I say this to you. You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but it cannot tell you where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." This is the great mystery that a lot of people are wondering about us. This is the missing factor that they will not see. That it takes faith to be able to see it and believe it. You may have been living a godly life. I thought I was for a moment in my life. I thought that by coming to church, by being part of the ministry, by reading the word occasionally, by doing community service, by helping others, that I was living a godly life and that's what he wanted for me. But it came the day where God spoke into my life and said, "You need my Holy Spirit. Because what you're doing is good, but if I'm not in it, if I'm not leading you to do that, if I'm not the one calling the shots, then you're not living unto me." And so many will come and say, "Lord, Lord, look at the great things we did." And he will say, "Depart from me. I never knew you." How do you get connected with this Lord? Through the rebirth. Through actually coming through him and living unto him. To actually die of oneself, saying, "I no longer live, but you live in me. You call the shots. I give you permission. I don't have to give you permission anymore. You can just come in and do whatever it is that pleases you, but teach me. So when you don't command me, I know what my Father will do. When I don't feel that you're near me, I'll know what you're going to think or say. I'll actually do the things that you've taught me to do." There are going to be times where the Holy Spirit will allow you to make a decision on your own to see if you're going to choose him. It's not that you're not feeling him. It's not that he's not near. He's an everlasting Father. But he will allow you sometimes to do your own thing to see if you're still choosing him. If you're still going to say, "Wait a minute. Do you understand what I'm saying?" Christ gave birth on the cross to you and I. Christ, as the last Adam, as the firstborn out of the death, stood his ground when Adam, the first one, couldn't. Adam wasn't a paradise. Adam was in a garden that was full of goodness, but he fell. Jesus was in the garden of betrayal, and he stood his ground. What a beautiful imagery. Jesus didn't have the perfect garden, but stood his ground. And he knew that he was going to be taken. He knew that he was going to be accused. He knew that he was going to be crucified. Yet he still stood his ground. And when he said, "Father, if this cup Jesus was dying of agony and pain. He was sweating blood. But what he was asking the Father is, "Don't let me die right now. Because there's still a Calvary that I have to go through to give birth to the sons and the daughters that you have always wanted to have." You can't be a father unless you have children. You can have characteristics. You can have things that make you look like a father. But I have learned that unless you don't have somebody that comes after you, you're not a father. But you can have not just a flesh son. You can have a spiritual one. And me and you were taken from the side of Jesus as spirit born, filled again, heavenly creatures. We live in a body, but do not forget that the one that is in you is far greater than the one who is out there. Remember that the one who is upon you, the Holy Spirit, is the one who's going to teach you and lead you to everlasting life. The last Adam who gave birth to his bride from his pierced side. What a beautiful imagery of the cross, that not only did Jesus end what the first Adam did, he also at the same time gave birth to the newness and the plan of God to bring the whole entire humanity, not just the Jews, but also the Gentiles. That's new. So why am I presenting this to you today? Because somebody needs to hear it today. Some of you have been walking this walk for years, not seeing a change in you, not seeing your family being transformed, not seeing that miracle come about. And I encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit. Ask him, "Have I really been born again? Have I really died to myself and received you as Lord of my whole entire life? Have I really followed what John 3 says and what John 19 says? And have I really, really come to know you?" These are serious questions. These are messages that come in a life moment as it came to me to realize and to be revealed the good news of salvation. It's not just a one-time message. This is why the Lord said, "Go and make disciples, baptize them, not just in the water, but daily baptize them." How do you make disciples? By daily having communication with them. How has the Lord kept me so near? By my communication with him. The day I stopped communicating with the Father, the The day I stop communicating with Jesus is the day that I turn myself away. Not him. He's still going to be there. And that's where the miscommunication happens. We blame God a lot for that. But can I tell you that it's your own choice? That's why he is the everlasting Father. That's why he's present everywhere. Because he never leaves you or forsakes you. But he will allow you to make choices just to see if you choose him. In this age, in this era, God is wanting to do again what Genesis 1 is describing. The Holy Spirit hovering over chaotic waters. I've been so captivated by water. I've been researching about it. I told my wife when I was sick that as I was praying for myself, which I encourage you, when you're sick, pray for yourself and encourage yourself. Every time my nose was plugged, I would think about the day that I'm going to breathe again, and that would make me happy. Every time my eyes were watery and my nose was itchy, I would think about the day that I could go out in the cold and breathe that cold air, and it just feels like your whole brain is wide open. It encourages you, and it allows you not to fall into self-pity. Trust me, I can take a sick guy. I can take somebody sick, but if you are just pouting, get out of here. Because you're contagious now. You weren't contagious before. But when you begin to do that, now you're contagious. Not of just the disease or the sickness, but you're contagious of the spirit. And I can't take that. I can't take somebody trying to just get me to that level. But what the Spirit is doing is that, let me go back to that. I was telling my wife that when I was praying for myself, I was praying that by his stripes I've been healed. And it came to my mind as I was praying, you've been whipped, you were pierced, the stripes upon your back, upon your flesh have healed me. And it came to my mind as a cut, as it begins to heal, the water that comes out of it, there's actually a water that comes out of a cut that the body does to be able to self-heal to prevent infection. And I said, let that water that comes from your wounds come upon me right now. Let that healing water, let that be put upon me right now. And I'm telling you, it was a simple cold. But I pray and I seek and I go after him because I want to believe the word. If he says that I can speak to a mountain and move it, I want to believe that. I want to have the faith to move that mountain. I want to have the faith to pray again for a dead man. I want to have the faith again to see miracles and wonders and see the Holy Spirit come into a people. The law without the Holy Spirit can kill you. But with the Holy Spirit, it gives life. The Pharisee came to get knowledge, and Jesus in return gave life. He wanted answers, and Jesus only said, here's an eternal truth. You have to be born again. I can give you all the answers you're looking for, but they're just going to be empty into the space that I'm going to put them in because you can't do anything without being born again. A lot of us have been reading the word and have not learned anything. The reason is because you need the Holy Spirit. You need the clean canvas to be able to see the word of God. You need the hand of God to be put in front of you so that you're not get killed by the word of God. If you read it without the Holy Spirit, it'll just be a bunch of rules and regulations, do's and don'ts, that the enemy will use against you to kill you. It is him who grabs the word of God to try to kill his people. He uses the word of God. You have to have ears. You have to have eyes to be able to see him. The Holy Spirit is available to anyone. I speak about him all the time because it is him who revealed to me, Jesus, who has revealed to me these scriptures. I would have never comprehended that. I would have never tied Genesis 2 and John 19. Or Ephesians 5. Or 1 John. Never. But this is how the Holy Spirit searches. He searches in those deep things that you want to know. He gives you that revelation for a reason, so you can give it away. He gives you water daily to wash yourself and to wash somebody. He gives you daily bread to eat it and also partake and give it away. So what I'm asking as an action, get yourself a praying life. I encourage you. I didn't know how to pray when I first got saved. In fact, my first praying practices were at the dinner table with the Clarks. And I would try to sit as quiet as I could so they wouldn't call on me. But then they would say, hey, Sergio, can you pray? And then I would, you know, say a few words that I thought, man, I'm not even supposed to be in this table. But I would say these words, and I would sometimes just mimic what they said. I mean, when we have a praying rally, if somebody starts praying about chickens, the next person gets what he's going to pray about. Chickens. Just because we're creatures of that. We don't want to come up with a new thing. We want to know if they laughed about that, let me talk about that. But it's practice and practice and practice to talk to my Father. And when the Holy Spirit began to reveal to me, I couldn't shut my mouth. I couldn't stop asking him about things. I couldn't. That was my praying language. I wish I could tell you that I get on my knees and pray for hours, but I'm a question guy. I read it, and if I don't understand it, I'm like, Holy Spirit, why did this water turn into blood? Why did you turn the water into wine? Why? Why did you choose red? Why did you choose blue? Why did you choose a whip? Why something else? And he begins to give me these answers because of my wantingness to really know. So I encourage you to ask him. I encourage you to open the word, and if you have nothing to read, say, Lord, I don't know how to do this, but you know. I don't know how to read this, but you do. I don't know how to preach this, but you do. I don't know what these words do to me, but you do. So teach me. So Father, I just thank you. Holy Spirit, I just invite you into my brothers and sisters' heart. Holy Spirit, I am praying right now that you would put a target on every single one of them that heard this word today. That you would go after them in a way that you've never done it before. Holy Spirit, I ask you, release yourself upon them. That as you have taught me, that you would teach them. Father, that you would give them dreams and visions of who you are. Holy Spirit, I'm asking that you would baptize them under this holy water, that you would pierce them as the Lord was pierced with love, that you would bound them, Father God, with grace and mercy, that you would put on them a clean, clean robe. Father God, that you would give them and grant them the revelation of sonship. Father, that you would open their minds to your word. That you would create in them a hunger for your word. Father God, that you would allow them to be thirsty for the water of the living God. Father, I am asking, I am pleading that you would release yourself unto them. That you would do exceedingly, abundantly, and above anything they could ask, think, or imagine in their lives. Father, I'm asking that the ones that they've been after with the gospel would come to the revelation of you, Jesus. Father, that what has taken months and years would take days and hours. Father, that the enemies that they're fighting today, they would no longer fight. Father God, that the temptations that have come over their families, the iniquities, Father, that you would come and plunder the past, that you would create a bridge of peace, that they would make peace with their past, that they would no longer live in the past, but that they would look forward unto this resurrection life, this Holy Spirit-filled life, this heaven, this kingdom of God that we can experience here right now. Father, I am asking that you would incubate them. That you would divinely incubate them, Father God, from the arrows of the enemy. That even for one day they would experience the glory of the Lord. That you would make their face shiny and their eyes and their ears and their hearts shiny, Father God. That the glory of the Lord would come upon them in a tangible way. That they would feel your nearness. Holy Spirit, that they would speak to you as a friend speaks to another. That they would feel you. That they would respond to you. That they would ask you questions. And that you would live with them. That you would create in them a clean, clean heart. That you would purge them, Father God, with hyssop. That you would wash them with the water of the living word. I plead your precious blood over them. Father, reveal yourself unto them in a way they had never seen before. And that from this day forward, they would live a godly life fully unto you. No compromise anymore. No hesitation. But that they would fully give themselves unto you. I ask this and I pray this. In Jesus' name, amen.